Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you and we are so thankful that we can come to you. And Lord, you do hear our prayers. And Lord, I thank you for the change of seasons, for the springtime coming and how the grass gets greener and we have more colors. And Lord, it is so beautiful on how you reveal yourself through your creation. Lord, I pray that this service be a blessing in your sight in all that we do and say. In Jesus' name, amen. An elderly woman had just returned home from an evening of church service when she was startled by an intruder. She caught the man in the act of robbing her home of its valuables and yelled, "Stop! Acts 2:38. Repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ so that your sins may be forgiven." The burglar stopped in his tracks. The woman calmly called the police and explained what she had done. As the officer cuffed the man to take him in, he asked the burglar, "Why did you just stand there? All the old lady did was yell scripture at you." "Scripture?" replied the burglar. She said she had an axe and 2.38s. Oh, boy. Okay. Three ministers were discussing the problem of bats in the attic at church and how difficult they were to get rid of. The first minister said that his congregation had tried smoking them out, but they still came back. Another tried poisoning them, but enough had survived to repopulate the attic. A third minister shared his solution. "I just baptize and confirm them all that they never come back." I don't know, that was lame. Last one. A young assistant, Pastor Bill, was giving his 427th children's sermon. "Now kids," said Pastor Bill, "what is green, lives in a pond, and sits on a lily pad and hops?" The children looked at each other with vacant eyes and silence ruled. "Surely someone has an idea." Finally, little Susie stood up and said, "Well, it sounds like a frog, but it must be Jesus." Got to give that Sunday school answer. It's got to be Jesus. That's the answer, Jesus. See, in this last one, the child knew the answer, but wasn't quite sure on how to answer it. She wanted to give the Sunday school answer. Of course, what's the answer to Sunday school? Jesus. But she knew that didn't make sense. She wanted to show obedience to the pastor and impress him. Today we're going to look at what God says about children being obedient, and of course, the father's responsibility. Today, our study is going to be in Colossians, chapters 3, verses 20 through 21. Colossians, chapter 3, verses 20 through 21. "Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged." So Paul starts off, children, saying that word. The really cool thing is when he says that, what he was aware of is that when he was addressing this letter and it was being read, there should have been children present. That's who he's talking to. And when he wrote this letter to the place, he expected them to be there when they read the letter, because it was addressed to them. Now, people tend to overlook children, tend to overlook them, and we tend not to give them time of day. Yes, the term in here is referring to children that were living with their parents. If he would have addressed an older group, he would have called them young men or young women. So he is referring to the little ones. My guess would be, if I were to guess, 12 and under. They were still living at home. So Paul, he's giving everybody instructions. He tells them to obey their parents in everything. Now, this word obey is a much harsher word in the Greek. Much more harsher than the word submit that we looked at in verse 19 when he refers to the role of the wife. She is to submit, the children are to obey. Now, this word obey is also reinforced in here by the phrase in everything. Obedience is the way of life for children. Paul even states that in Ephesians 6, 1 through 3. He says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land." Really cool thing is Paul is quoting, of course, from what? The Ten Commandments, right? It's a carry on. They are to be obedient. When a child is disobedient, that was a sign of ungodliness when they're being disobedient. So even when we look at the Old Testament, God wants people to obey his commands. When a child learns to obey their parents, they will have a better idea on how to obey God. We've got to put on our listening ears sometimes. When a child disobeys their parents, there's consequences, right? Oh, yes. Oh, yes. When one disobeys God, is there consequences? Oh, yes. Yes. Exodus 21:15 says, "Whoever strikes his father or mother shall be put to death." There's a note to you, kids. Anyway, what's the context of that? It's talking about raising violent kids. Even to the fact to where if one commits murder, they shall be put to death. See, there's a punishment. There's always a consequence for our actions. That also goes the same for us, for as adults. If adults commit murder as well, the death penalty would apply too. See, because these actions are not pleasing to God. He says, don't do them. Proverbs 1:8 says, "Hear, my son, your father's instruction, and forsake not your mother's teaching." Of course, this was wisdom. Solomon is telling them to obey and not to forsake the teaching, assuming that the parents were teaching godly traits. Another graphic description is found in Proverbs 30, verse 17. The eye that mocks a father and scorns to obey a mother will be picked out by the ravens of the valley and eaten by the vultures. That's kind of harsh. See, that's what disobedience looks like. That's how God views it. The child should obey their parents. Because why? It is taught throughout Scripture. It's taught in the Old Testament. It's taught in the New Testament. Disobedience is a sin. And since it is a sin, the act of disobedience is against God's command. See, through these, we see how God views disobedience. Children are to obey their parents in all things or everything. Now, is there going to be a time for disobedience? Should a child ever disobey their parents? Of course, there is a time. If the request violates God's word, then the child can disobey with respect. With that in mind, the children should know what the scriptures say, so they can know what the if the parent's request is of God. The parent should never, ever ask their children to do anything that is against God's word. That is, our job as parents is to train them up, to teach them to do the things that are right and pleasing to God. And then Paul adds this phrase on. Fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged. Now, I thought I was done picking on the guys a couple weeks ago, but I'm not. Now, as I was studying this passage, I found Bible translations that take the word father out and put in parents. So I got to think, why would they do that? See, as going through this, the word parent is a bad translation because Paul uses the Greek word for a literal father. Gender specific, not neutral. And so he uses that word there, and then he uses the word father in verse 21, and he uses the Greek word for parents in verse 20. So he could have used the word parent if he intended to in both verses. But he chose to use the word parent in verse 20, and then verse 21, he chose to use the word father. So he's talking to the dads, because why? They are the leaders of the household. More evidence of this is found in verse 19 when Paul tells them not to be harsh. It says at verse 19, husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. And we see in verse 21, fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged. So guys may have a little bit of a problem sometimes. Now, this word exasperate, in verse 21, he tells them not to provoke or exasperate them. Now, this word exasperate in the Greek is only used twice. Only used twice. Here and in 2 Corinthians 9:2. This word speaks of, to have a better understanding of, speaks of irritation or nagging. Now, men need to be aware of how they come across towards people, especially their own family. I have done some counseling to where when dad gets home, there you could feel the tension in the house. They have to walk softly. The family feels like they shouldn't do anything to irritate dad when he comes home, which is an unhealthy relationship. See, when men do this, people around them withdraw from them. They back away. They need to work through that. This is also part of men stepping up and leading the household in a godly manner. See, they should never discourage. They need to raise their children in the things of God. Again, men are the spiritual leaders of the household. They need to be the man that God has called them to be. They need to take off the old sinful desires and focus on Christ. Put on what Christ wants us to put on, so we can have unity within the household. Now, children are treasured in the Bible. Parents are to raise their kids in the things of the Lord. Jesus wanted the children to come to him. He did not discourage them. Luke 18:15-17 states, "Now they were bringing even infants to him that he might touch them. And when the disciples saw it, he rebuked them. But Jesus called them to him, saying, 'Let the children come to me, and do not hinder them, for such belonging the kingdom of God. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it.'" Now the interesting thing about this passage is that Jesus' followers were rebuking children. And Jesus is like, "No, that's not going to happen. Let them come to me. Let them come to me. Do not hinder them." And we can draw some truths out of this as well. We should never, ever hinder our kids when they seek Jesus. We are to be encouraging that. We are to be fostering that. We are to be helping them find that relationship with Christ and teaching them the things of Christ. Proverbs 22:6 states, "Train up a child in the way that he should go. Even when he is old, he shall not depart from it." So does this mean, parents, if you train your kids in the things of the Lord, they're going to be perfect? If you figure that out, let me know. No, what you're doing is when you're training your children at a young age, you're reading to them, teaching them scripture, teaching them about the love of God, and God is love, just, merciful, gracious, all attributes of God. What you're doing there is you're building on the foundation. You're laying that foundation for them. You're explaining to them who Christ is, what he has done. And it's through faith in Christ that one is saved. And then as a parent, and if you've set that foundation and Christ is the cornerstone, you set all that there, then you're doing what God has called you to do. And children may stray. It is a possibility. They'll stray from the faith. But as long as you are faithful to your part in training your kid up, you have done all you're called to do. And then what we got to do is realize, let God be God. Be praying for them, even if they do stray. We got to keep praying for them. And because sometimes it does take God to bring them back. Well, all the time it takes God to bring them back. He's the one in control. He's the one that changes lives. But we need to be faithful on the things that we need to be doing, on how we need to be concentrating, on how to raise children. Now, these last couple weeks, we looked at the family structure. The wife is to submit to her husband. The husband is to love his wife and not be embittered to her. Today we looked at the role of the child, and they are to obey their parents. And the father is not to provoke their children, because why? It causes them to be discouraged. Now, this is part of God's basic plan for the family. Here it is in a little tiny nutshell. But it's so much deeper than that. It's an ongoing process. When the dad is raising the children in the way of God, he is fulfilling his part. That does not mean that the child, as I said earlier, will not stray. There's a chance that they will, and a chance that they won't. Raising children, of course, is a team effort. It's easier with two people. My heart goes out for those that have to do it as a single parent. It's not easy. Paul calls out the fathers in this because they have a tendency to be provoking and not so much the mother. Now, when a child obeys, things go a little bit easier. Less tension. Things go easier in the house. Makes life good sometimes. Now, MacArthur listed 10 ways a parent can cause a child to lose heart. First one, they can be overprotective. And that's what's been going on lately, is in a lot of places, parents are being over, they call them the helicopter parents. They're always flying over, what are your kids doing, what are they doing, how are they doing, I need to be watching them. Is there where are you going, is there going to be an adult there, who's going to be an adult, do they have credentials? The kids are going outside, who's going to be out there to watch you? We can see that on how parents can be too protective. And that's what's actually happening lately. I saw that in my own life too, when my kids were younger. When I was growing up, I didn't have the helicopter parents. I said, Mom and Dad, I'm going to go for a bike ride. Okay, be home in time for supper. And that meant be home before dark, before the streetlights come on. Or else if I was, you'd say, hey, I'm going to go to the neighbor's house and go play in the dirt, do whatever. They say, okay, be home when supper comes. And I would lose track of time, so she'd stand on the front door yelling, Justin, get home, time to eat. Of course, the whole neighborhood knew it too. But we've kind of strayed away from that, and I understand, yes, the culture around, we've created a culture that is what we say is not safe sometimes for kids to be out by themselves, sometimes. And of course, we do like them in groups. But you can see how if we're overprotective, we can be stopping them from making mistakes, and that's the thing. Kids need to learn to make mistakes sometimes. We can't be over there protecting them all the time. And that's the other thing going on with generations is they're afraid to fail because we failed them by not allowing them to fail. What happens if you didn't fail? Would you learn? I've allowed my kids to fail doing certain things, and yes, they got hurt. But I looked at them and said, told you shouldn't have done that. Yeah, give them a warning. I wouldn't do that if I were you. Oh, I'm fine. I'll be safe. Yeah. Another one, showing favorites. Now, if you're an only child, that's okay. You can show favorites. But never let the other one know you have a favorite. Don't have favorites. Favorites are bad. Number three, making them feel worthless. Telling them they're no good. They can't do it. Setting unrealistic goals. Now, do we want to set the goal high? Yeah, we do. We do. But we got to make sure they're achievable. It's kind of like if you want to lose weight, what's your goal? You're not going to say, I want to lose 30 pounds in a month. Unrealistic, you're going to fail. If you say, I can lose 5 pounds in a month, that's realistic. So if you're telling your kid, he or she wants to be CEO, right out of high school, you can do it. That's an unrealistic goal. They need to put in the legwork. They need to first start using elbow grease, maybe scrubbing floors first. Work your way up. Next one, failing to show affection. Not telling them how much you care for them. Not being there for them. That can be discouraging. Another one, not providing their needs. Not wants, needs. They may think they want something, but what is their need? Food, clothing, shelter. Basic needs. You need to meet them. Another one, lack of discipline. I would have liked this one, lack of discipline. No, that is giving them too much rope, I guess, too much leash. Let them do what they want. This also goes into the area of, as we see it sometimes the kids will rule the house. What the kids say, go. There needs to be a line, there needs to be discipline. So they can learn, so they know their boundaries. I said discipline, not abuse. Huge difference. You want to correct and not just to be mean. Number eight, being extremely critical. I've known parents who have been extremely critical. And in some cases, the kid would come home and be discouraged by the report card because they got one B. And the father would criticize that person, say that should have been an A. Number nine, neglect. Kind of going off doing your own thing, leaving the kids to fend for themselves all the time. And then number 10, excessive discipline. Disciplining heavily on minor issues. Say Junior spilt the milk at the dinner table. Or he left it out, he or she left it out overnight and it spoiled. Would making them go outside and cut their own switch, is that excessive discipline for that? Just a little bit. The discipline has to fit what they did. Now, if they're old enough, they had a job, or you can say, hey, you spoiled this, you need to go out and buy the next gallon. Well, things like that. We need to make sure that the discipline fits and not be excessive on it. Of course, it's always easy to say, I'm going to ground you for a month and take everything away for the rest of your life and your birthdays. That's fun to say. We got to be realistic. Now, and here's to sum it up. It all goes back to loving one another and putting others before ourselves. You guys have heard the saying, we hurt the ones we love. That's just an excuse to treat people badly. And if you say that and believe it, you need a kick in the pants. Because we're not supposed to be hurting the ones we love. Which should be everybody. But our family, we find it so much easier to hurt those we're closest to, and it shouldn't be. We allow ourselves to get angry and to say things we normally wouldn't say to people that we love. Is that the way it should be? No. Just an excuse. See, we need to express the love of Jesus. We need to be talking about it. We need to be showing it. Jesus disciplined when he had to. And he still wanted the children to come to him, and we should be leading our kids towards him. Now, if you have a child, or had, consider them a gift from God and train them in the things of the Lord. Deuteronomy 6:7 says, you shall teach them diligently to your children. You shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise. This is referring to the command of God to love the Lord. To love the Lord with all your mind, your soul, your spirit. To sum it up, to love the Lord God with all your being, with all of who you are. The authors were trying to express it the best way they could, and they listed all these things on what you should love the Lord with. To sum it up, with all your being. And that is what you need to be talking about with your kids. You need to be talking about the things of the Lord, training them. Get our focus off of ourselves, put our focus on him, allow him to guide and to lead us. When we do that with our kids, the children will learn obedience and also the father of the children can be an encourager. Children are to obey their parents, and the father is to watch his conduct towards his children. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you, and you've given us instructions on how we should have a godly household and the roles that each one of us play. You gave us all things to do, all things to concentrate. You gave us things to concentrate on in our relationship with one another and, Lord, with the church. I pray that you speak to us, that you use us to train others, that you use us to be encouragers, to help one another grow in you so they can focus on you and what you want, so the church can be alive and not just something people go to. The church is to be doing things, the things that you have called them to do. And you've given us instructions. And Lord, we looked at the wife's role, the husband's role, the children's role, the parents' role. It should reflect you and your love. Lord, I thank you so much for what you have done and how you are still a part of us and how you are still guiding. Lord, you are still teaching us your ways through your word. Lord, I pray that you continue to do that. Again, I thank you for what you have done. You have offered us salvation through your son, Jesus Christ. And Lord, I come before you humbly and say thank you for your work. Guide and lead us as pleasing to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Proverbs 22:6. Again, train up your children in the way he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it.